And welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson. It is the 8th of February, 2023. And we're all kind of parachuting into today's show. I almost lost track of time due to some appointments, whatnot. But it looks like everything's falling together. Sometimes the word falling is appropriate. Anyway, I am joined evidently by Ron Avery, per usual, doing the video simulcast of today's show that goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /stop the presses. I'm going to ask Ron real quick if I can be both seen and heard.
Yes, I see you and I hear you. Can you hear me?
I can see and hear you. Will wonders ever cease? I'm telling
Very
you.
Very good.
Yes, yes, yes. These systems, we try to get fancy like the mass media cartel. As I recall, there was this little episode there in 2020 when all the local reporters at the local network affiliates were staying home or using some sort of auxiliary offices and not going to the main station. And I turned on the TV news, you might recall this, Ron, and it looked like our news. They were starting to use Skype and Zoom, and they were going a little less techie, and we were going a little more techie, and we were starting to meet in the middle in terms of the appearance and the general presentation of what we do. And then I thought, well, aha, things are equalizing on this purely technical level. So now all we have to do is get more reach, not just freedom of speech, because that doesn't mean anything without reach. Get more reach and get our message out there, maybe not toe-to-toe, but at least equalize things a little bit more so people can not just see that we all look alike now, the mainstream press and the so-called alternative press, but hey, we in the alternative realm, we have a different thing to say. We have something much more substantive to say and much more of an inquiry into things, not just reading off of teleprompters and being social stenographers.
Yeah, if you're not going to get the pretty wrappers and the package and the presentation, why watch garbage when you can watch substance? and if you're not going to get the wrapper anyway, you know, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I can't match the 22-year-old weather girl with the cleavage. If I may be slightly bawdy in my comments, I'll be forgiven, but I can't match that. But I can sit here and look pretty like the next guy and say something halfway interesting and halfway intelligent.
Yeah, please don't show me any cleavage. I don't think I'm
not that kind of look pretty.
Yeah.
No. Just the suave and debonair thing. Is suave and
debonair.
That rugged, handsome look, if we can pull it off still. Right. Sometimes more of a distant memory, I suppose, in a way. But, hey, we try. But anyway, I've got some things to share, Ron, that we can then talk about. And callers, especially after the bottom of the hour, can call in and throw in their proverbial pesos, shekels, and 2 cents. And one of them is that your friend and mine, all of our best friend, Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, spoke to the Economic Club of Chicago on Thursday, February 2nd. And I couldn't go to Chicago, but I managed to find an unedited, uncensored YouTube presentation produced by the Economic Club itself of his speech, the entire speech, his opening remarks, the introductory before him introducing him, and a little one-on-one he had with a local college president. And before I show, I can show some pictures and whatnot in a few minutes. Before I do that, although I can kind of do that as we're talking, here I'll show a picture of him. I'll try and walk and chew gum at the same time here, and this should come through okay. Are we seeing that?
Yes. I see it.
Okay, there he is. There's Albert Bourla of Pfizer, the head honcho, addressing the Economic Club of Chicago, as the marquee behind him shows. he's dressed in his tux, and he got the 21-gun salute, you might say, from that slice of the elite in Chicago. And the first thing I'll mention is that, once again, I'm seeing this phenomenon, Ron and listeners, where, okay, we may not like this guy. We may think he's a shyster. Others in society think he's something of a hero. He was literally called a hero at this show, at this presentation. But the bottom line is that I got on YouTube in my home, 1,600 miles away from this event, and as far as I could tell, I was the only reporter there. Now, now think about that for a moment, okay? The head of Pfizer, one of only three or four companies producing billions of vials of a so-called vaccine, some think it's the elixir of life, others think it's the death jab, and he shows up in Chicago. And this happened, too, when the head of NATO at that time in 2016, Anders Rasmussen, spoke to the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. I got on a train from the other side of Lake Michigan and hobbled my way over there and was the only reporter there. Chicago Tribune, no show. Chicago Sun-Times, no show. WGN, no show. How do you not send a reporter to Albert Bourla's speech to the Economic Club of Chicago? Why is the only articles and things I find about it only by the Economic Club itself, which produced the YouTube video from which I have this photo? And then you might have like academic sources mentioning it. Sometimes I'm just out of words, Ron. Does God himself warrant coverage anymore? If, you know, ZZ Top just wrote a song a long time ago called Jesus Just Left Chicago. Well, if Jesus arrived in Chicago instead of leaving, would that constitute a story? What does it take to get these flunky reporters out of their effing cubicles and put down their lattes, Ron? What does it take?
Well, I think they're paid not to do it. That they don't want any real news associated with the news.
I guess I've been in the news biz so long, I believe you. I think that's true, and yet I'm having trouble putting my mind around it. I feel like if for no other reason, just so they could say they were there, that they'd be there.
I think we have what they call slave news. And slave news has to do with what slaves are doing to each other. Like, they like to report on somebody that's, getting to somebody for paying charging too much to change their carburetor out. Or somebody made off with some silverware out of the restaurant. These are the things we hear as significant news stories. Or Bobby shot Billy out in front of the out of the strip bar. These are things that, you know, we're supposed to do something with. Things like this Albert Bourland guy and Pfizer, these are not stories that we should be hearing about. These are from our masters. These are what the masters are doing.
I don't disbelieve you. It makes total sense. When I think back to when I started in journalism and the editors that I worked for, flaws and all, warts and all, whatever their faults might have been, they would have, if I wouldn't have covered this, if I would have been assigned to it and not went, I would have been fired. There was a time when the founder of the Chicago Tribune, the late, great Robert Rutherford McCormick, they named the convention center McCormick Place after him. He was truly a legend. The Chicago Tribune was once an America First pro-Constitution paper in its heyday, roughly the mid to late 1920s through the mid-1950s. And he sent reporters all over the world. He would train reporters in certain areas. Like, if a reporter was going to go cover the lumber industry in Canada, McCormick would send that reporter to a crash course at a local college to learn about the lumber industry. And if the reporter was going to cover the culinary arts, he didn't just let the reporters go there wet behind the ears. He would make them read books or go to classes on cooking. And if they were covering foreign policy, he would sometimes sit them down in his own office and give them a 10-hour lecture on foreign policy before they'd let them leave. I mean,
yeah, totally what? Cool.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch some of the old movies, you know, film noir and some of the 1930s and 40s movies, the press, again, for all its flaws, was a dynamic institution.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the editor would sit the newsroom down. Some of them would stand on the desk and talk to the rest of the reporters in the newsroom.
Well, in fact, the news and news reporters actually had an impact on history and actually changed the course of history by reporting on things that they overheard in restaurants and things like that, things that were supposed to be secret, and they would report them, and they were crimes against the people, and things were actually altered by what they did. You don't see that anymore.
No, you don't. They're just stooges for the system. And see, this is what puzzles me, and we'll get into what Albert Bourla had to say here in just a moment. But what puzzles me is they've been on this guy's side. They haven't allowed much, if any, criticism of Pfizer, certainly nothing damaging, to get through the filters very much, if at all. And so this guy called a hero in many quarters in the conventional medicine, some of the conventional medicine avenues, much of the press, much of academia, think tanks, thinking this guy is heroic. And I'm not going to impugn his character. He's no dummy. I listen to him talk. He's a smart guy. But smart doesn't necessarily mean moral. There's something known as a mattoid. A mattoid is a person of high intelligence that still has criminal intent.
Good term.
And I won't say he is. I won't say he isn't a mattoid. I'll be a reporter, let people make up their own minds and not make their minds up for him too much. Of course, this show is commentary, not just news, so we let it hang out a little bit more here. But this guy's on their side. He's been on their side. So I guess I'm just puzzled, and I would think members of the Economic Club would look around and go, well, maybe there's a local radio reporter over there, some chicky dude or some little young dude or whatever, and you know, maybe some local weekly made it. But you would think that even they would be taken aback by someone not sending a reporter to do a full-page story of what Albert Bourla had to say, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
And for sure.
It's incredible. It literally is just incredible. All I have to do is put a robe on, grab a cup of coffee, turn on my computer, and I can outdo the press of the United States.
That's good. I like it. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to get dressed from the waist down. You just, that's the way they show the commercials when you want to get a house loan or something. That's also the way you cover major events.
You can still have the stubble on your face. You haven't been in the same zip code as a razor in 2 weeks. That's right. There you go. But anyway, we got about 5 minutes before the first break, but at about the 53-minute mark, and I don't have time to get video together. I should have, but I was running late due to some appointments. At the 53-minute mark, him and the moderator, a woman who represents Spelman College, somewhere in the greater Chicago area, got into the topic of disinformation, and Mr. Bourla was raised Jewish in Greece. So he's nationalistic. His nationality is Greek, but now he's American, but his original nationality was Greek, but his ethnicity, his heritage is Jewish. And he shared that with the moderator. I'm not, you know, gratuitously pounding on Jews. It's nothing like that. And however, he did say that he actually compared so-called disinformation people that don't totally trust the vaccines he compared them to the Nazis cracking down on the Jews. Now, there's a huge flaw in that argument. The Nazis, whatever one might think of history, and there's a lot of interpretations of the Hitler regime, especially the details. John Toland, that historian, will tell you a slightly different story than David Irving, who will tell you a different story than, say, Harry Elmer Barnes, who will tell you a different story than Arthur Schlesinger and some of the more conventional court historians. I'm not impugning any of them. They all have made interesting contributions. But what Borla said, Ron, he likened vax skeptics, vaccine hesitancy deniers, people on social media criticizing the so-called vax industry, not trusting the COVID jabs, he likened them to the Nazis. But what he didn't seem to understand was the Nazis, for what they reportedly did in World War II to the Jews, and there are people that dispute it. You know, we know the full intellectual realm out there. But for what Hitler is said to have done, that was the regime, the central government, coming down on the people. In the vax hesitancy, in the people that don't trust these vax jabs, it's the people rebuking the central state. The vax deniers, the so-called vax hesitancy people, the people that don't trust the jabs, are the people themselves. We're not the central state. We don't have the power. You see the incredible flaw in Mr. Borla's argument.
Yes. And not only that, I mean, I can see why he wouldn't want to liken those to Christians. Because Christians have to look at it as that man is created in the image of God and cannot be naturally an enemy or a threat to the state. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah, the actual reality is Mr. Borla is mimicking, perhaps unwittingly, the Nazi masters that he so historically fears. The central state in Hitler's time was, according to the Jewish perspective, they were the antagonists, they were the malevolent arm of power. People protesting the COVID jabs don't have any power, okay?
Right.
But those that are pushing the jabs, they have that state power that Hitler had. And they are the ones that have the power and the wherewithal and the material to bring tremendous, widespread, worldwide harm. Not the vax deniers.
Yeah, he's turned it around, completely around.
Yes, and then, you know, he went into a lot of other statistics. Some of it was quite dry. He did mention that Kalamazoo was the main plant, which is not far from where I spend my Michigan summers. And on a very recent, this past Monday, Michigan for Vaccine Choice, we're coming up on the first break. Michigan for Vaccine Choice held a protest right outside the Pfizer Kalamazoo manufacturing plant, which I understand is the main place they make the COVID-19 mRNA jabs, the injections. So there is some pushback in Michigan from that group, Michigan for Vaccine Choice. That happened again this past Monday. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
Such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Welcome to the next segment here on Stop the Presses, the 8th of February, 2023. And I'm with Ron Avery. We're doing the usual video simulcast. The last one we did had a few glitches, and I think we were ironing that out. And that goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. Ron, this should be visible now, too. Another screen share. This just in, as they say, and I'm only going to just do an announcement today. The pandemic treaty of the WHO, this is from Health Policy Watch, an independent global health reporting agency, not the press. Oh, no, 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 no. The press doesn't report this stuff. Pandemic Treaty Zero Draft, the initial draft is out already, and it proposes that the World Health Organization, which is an arm of the UN, gets 20% of all pandemic products to ensure equity. Now, this too, Ron, and I have to kind of embargo this a little bit due to some handshakes and agreements. I can't go into detail on this until this coming Friday. I anticipate to be on ukcolumn.org instead of my usual Monday appearance. Instead, it'll be this coming Friday at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern. But it automatically archives it. They produce it at 1 p.m. UK time in southwestern England in Plymouth. And I'm going to go into detail then. And I have to kind of embargo the in-depth report until then due to a previous agreement. But I'm simply announcing that the pandemic treaty, the first initial zero draft, a very early draft of it evidently, is out. It's been released. And once again, Ron, at this point in time, as of early this morning, late last night, all I could find on this was from the WHO itself, this Health Policy Watch, some kind of think tank, other think tanks and NGOs, or some sort of associates of the WHO. Once again, the press isn't interested, at least not yet, in the pandemic treaty. Ron,
mm-hmm.
Again, I, how large does the meteor have to be when it hits the Earth to even get them out of their cubicles? I still am straining at this. I'm having trouble.
Yes. Well, we're covering it. At least we're covering it, Barb. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. And so I will have the details based on the things that have been set in motion. Again, this coming Friday, tune into ukcolumn.org. And it's a audio video presentation. It's very TV-like, very polished and professional. My regular slot is Mondays. There's a slight variation again this coming Friday, 7 Eastern, 8 a.m., 7 Central, 8 a.m. Eastern, and it automatically archives, and you can check it out later. And they also have something called Extra, where we do a separate extra segment where we kind of loosen our ties and let our hair down a little bit and get a little bit more reflective, a little bit more humorous. That's another segment they do on there. And I'll probably keep my Monday slot, or I'll do this Friday, skip Monday, and be back the next Monday at ukcolumn.org. But, Ron, the machinery is turning as fast as they dare make it turn, and they're trying to get this ensconced in precedent and try and get the wheels turning to where we can't stop the momentum, because they clearly want to do away with countries and subunits within countries from being able to rebel and opt out of the COVID regulations and the jab regulations. I don't think they're going to give them any wiggle room at all this time. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a global effort to enslave the entire planet. And it's simply done by making natural-born man created in the image of God a threat to society, needing endless injections and implants to verify their safety and to receive their digital compliance currency uploads and downloads. It's absolutely satanic.
Indeed it is. We're going to look at an element of that here in just a moment. Oh, shoot. Oh, come on. I hate to show. Bear with me. This is a little different than my tablet. This is an actual computer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're going to see. This should be visible too.
Yes, I see it.
Yeah, we'll carry this over into the next segment. But while the treaty is slowly in the oven, slowly baking, I've noticed a uptick in articles like this opinion piece published in The Hill, a Washington, D.C. Beltway paper. There's an uptick in these kind of articles. Now, if you're in denial of elections or you don't trust the jabs, you are now committing denialism, Ron. It's now denialism. So now it's an ism.
Break time.
Yeah, we'll talk about this more on the other side. See you there.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EazeOff EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexicans, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
And welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses. Today, the 8th of February, 2023, we're video live streaming to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. And we've been talking about the appearance of Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, February 2nd, to the Economic Club of Chicago, the apparent total lack of press coverage of that, and the apparent total lack of press coverage, or at least very minimal, in the United States anyway, of the initial announcements of a initial draft treaty, the pandemic treaty coming out, being slowly but surely molded by the globalist hands of the WHO and its associates. Very, very bellwether, very, very pivotal things. And now we're talking about, Ron and listeners, the plethora of articles that are coming out that seem, I'll stress the word seem, I'm not going to make too definitive of a statement yet, but they seem to be designed, Ron, for softening up the public and trying to create a larger doubt and a larger stigma against people that question or doubt these jabs. And therefore, that would land on not just individuals that have their doubts about the COVID jabs, but also local governments, state legislators, county commissioners, county judges. In other words, they are trying to discredit anyone who's not the CDC, discredit anyone who's not the WHO, discredit anyone who's not the Joe Biden regime. So if you're not Biden, if you're not CDC, if you're not National Institutes of Health, if you're not the WHO, you don't count. That's what I'm seeing here.
Right.
And I'll give you some examples here. This article by in The Hill, this Beltway newspaper in D.C. that covers Congress, that's why it's called The Hill, Denialism is seeping into legislation and undermining public health. Again, I'll read that headline. Denialism is seeping into legislation. Get that, seeping into legislation and undermining public health. You see how that sets the stage for a WHO treaty that would basically do away with national and subnational resistance to this treaty. Because if you're against the jabs, that's going to seep into legislation and lawmaking and policy, and that's going to undermine public health. So therefore,
instead of undermine, the title should say denialism is undermining
legislation.
Undermining tyranny.
Yeah, undermining tyranny, undermining the march of the jabs, these injections, and the idea that they can do no wrong. Again, although he tried to act like he had humility, Albert Bourla, February 2nd, Economic Club of Chicago, accepted the idea that he was being called a hero in some quarters. It was kind of tawdry and sort of disgusting to look at, but there it was. But anyway, this article starts out as the COVID, and I'm showing this on the screen for the video viewers, as the COVID-19 public health emergency winds down. And remember, even Biden has demoted the emergency, which is puzzling. There has been an increased focus on the federal response to the pandemic. There is finger pointing at public officials, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and departments of health for problematic and confusing communication. There is a backlash against COVID-19 public health control efforts and vaccines. In some circumstances, this backlash has triggered investigations and reactive legislation. But we need to recognize that what we are experiencing is not merely a reaction against public health and medical experts, but rather an expansion of denialism, defined as the rejection of facts with potentially very harmful consequences. See, so there is that notion that only the CDC's facts, only the National Institute of Health's facts, only the WHO's facts are facts. And right. any doctor, institute, organization, alternative news outlet.
Or how about just the plain human being born in the in nature in the image of God? How is that a denialism? How is that a threat to society? You said, see, this is all just conjured up. I mean, they just... This is just amazing that they can get away with this.
Yeah. And so you're right. Yeah, there's man's natural state with what God gave him, and unfettered and unharmed, if that is not degraded through bad diets and different things in society, and those food additives and the whole trade system is pushed on us by the very same globalists who are pushing the jabs. If the human is not degraded in his health, artificially through the global health system and manufactured food and food processing, if that doesn't happen, you have that. And then you have a lot of alternative doctors and researchers and academics and journalists and former people involved with Pfizer, former people involved in government health agencies that are saying, wait a minute, these mRNA jabs are not safe. There's enough data out there now to realistically and logically say, if you don't believe in them, you shouldn't have to take them. No government should force them on anyone. No employer should make getting a jab a condition of employment. No doctor should only get to keep his doctor's license if he administers the jabs and if he doesn't criticize them. All that should be a no-brainer. But what this article is saying is that you've got to simply believe the facts of the CDC and the WHO. Otherwise, you're a denier, therefore you're taking part in denialism, therefore you're a less than first-class human being. You ride in the back of the bus, if you're allowed in the bus at all.
And yeah, you're a threat to society completely. You should be eradicated.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Anyway, it goes on to say, denialism represents a shift in the common practice of disputing notions that we may not agree with, to the outright rejection of facts in an antagonistic way. Notable examples of denialism include the idea that climate change is a hoax, let that sink in, that human immunodeficiency virus is not the cause of AIDS. Now, right there, there is at least sufficient research arguing that the HIV virus is either not the sole cause of AIDS and that it's just a contributing factor, and there are other pieces of research that argue that it's not the cause of AIDS at all. Now, there is no way this writer in The Hill has any authority or any knowledge to where he can make a blanket statement that the HIV virus is solely the cause of AIDS. There's plenty of counterpoint on that. Needless to say, there's plenty of counterpoint on climate change. And then look at what it lumps in here. A denier who engages in denialism also tries to say that smoking does not cause cancer. I've never said that smoking doesn't cause cancer. Have you?
Read the next one. It's really amazing.
That guns are not a leading cause of death for children.
Now, wouldn't that be accidental? How could guns be the leading cause of anything? That would be like children having accidents or access to the guns, not knowing anything. I mean, the gun didn't cause anything. The parental, what would you call it? Parental
negligence.
Inability to be a good parent. I mean, an irresponsible parent that lets the kid play with a gun. I'm talking about a real child. In fact, I think young kids ought to be taught handguns and rifles. They ought to be taught that in public school, in a firing range.
Certainly, it would be better to have a working knowledge of how they work. Let's say you had a 10-year-old brother and a 3-year-old brother was playing with a small handgun. The 10-year-old would know what to do.
That's right. That's right.
Or a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old was playing with a gun he shouldn't have. A negligent parent left it out. The older child could help the younger child let go of the firearm. This is not a toy. And take the bullets out, perhaps. Put it away in a locked cabinet. See, so, yeah, ignorance is no way to deal with a nation of guns that has the Second Amendment. And, of course, the 2020 election was rigged. So denialism are people that believe the election was rigged, that believe that the HIV is not the cause of AIDS, that believe climate change is a hoax, that believe smoking doesn't cause cancer. I've never heard that one. And that believe that guns are not a leading cause of death for children. If you're guilty of any of that, you're engaging in denial. Now, it goes on to say, denialism related to the pandemic is now taking hold with a belief that some states fought COVID-19 by having a laissez-faire approach, a fact that is wrong. Even in states in which schools and businesses reopened before others and there were less strict COVID control measures, billions of dollars were spent to control COVID spread and impact. Now, that, you know, that's just kind of a strange argument. If those states felt that the COVID wasn't as serious as we were told, and they still spent billions, that's pretty stupid of them. I mean, if you think it's less serious, you should spend less. If I'm understanding this writer's twisted writing accurately, which isn't easy, but you can see where the article is coming down hard on states that did not take COVID-19 as seriously as the federal government did or as seriously as WHO did. They're saying that rebellious individuals and rebellious governmental units, such as individual states, are both a menace. That's what he's getting at.
Yes, yes.
It's just
amazing, too, to me that they're talking about this vaccine thing when the very people that created COVID-19 to start with are the same people that are creating the vaccines. It's all this research having to do with all these viruses. I mean, first they create the virus, then they create the vaccine for the virus, and then they get mad as hell at us because we don't want to take any of that crap. I don't even want them working on them. I want them to close those labs up and get some meaningful labor, like how to, like roofing work or construction or pouring concrete, something that's has some real merit to it.
That would fit the wall, wouldn't it? Some more border security, concrete, design, construction.
There you go. Something useful instead of something destructive.
Yeah, I still, in my mind, the jury's still out as to the ultimate alleged and purported origins of COVID. I mean, we have arguments ranging from it never really existed at all, this was something else, to the labs in China. And I'm going to leave that up to listeners and viewers as to what they believe. But the action is in the reaction. Whenever tyranny is carried out, it isn't so much the subject matter like COVID, although that's sort of the lever of control. That's where the leverage is. What really matters is the reaction. The action is in the reaction, aka the new pandemic treaty, aka the idea, and that's what this article represents, the idea that individuals and local and state units of government have no business interfering with the CDC and the WHO's mission. And that, of course, is the perfect softening up, the perfect prerequisite from a globalist point of view for introducing a treaty that evidently would water down, if not totally do away with, local autonomy and national level and state level and local autonomy with regards to any pandemic. As to, we're not going to mandate masks. The national government may say we're going to mandate they're going to mandate masks, but we in the state of Michigan or we in the state of Texas are not going to mandate mask wearing. And that multi-layered government approach that the nation's founders put in place to help frustrate tyranny is something they seem to be really targeting, Ron.
Yes, I agree. I think all the states, I think every governor, I think all these people should have a right to protect the property of the people. I don't believe that it's actually lawful for them to make anybody take a vaccine, pure and simple. Just anybody can take one if they want one. And they can do all those things, wear masks, stay at home, close the business, do all that crap. But they don't have a right to tell their neighbor to do that. So if they don't have a right to tell their neighbor, they cannot delegate that to the state or the federal government or anywhere else. All of those COVID mandates are absolutely tyrannical.
Yeah, because the government steps outside of the powers that have been delegated to it and uses emergencies to give itself powers that it does not have or is not authorized to get.
Yes, they would have authority to stop me from preventing my neighbor from getting a vaccine. They would also have authority to stop my neighbor from making me take a vaccine. And that's what they're not doing. They're not protecting property. They are trampling on property and rights.
Yes. Property in the broad sense, life, limb, liberty, and possessions.
Yes.
Yeah, life, limb, land, and possessions, right. Your life itself.
Yes.
Yes, here it says, let me see, nevertheless, ignoring mainstream expert opinion, reading from this article a little more, legislation has been enacted in many states to curb public health activities. In more than 20 states, laws have been recently passed that now limit the activities of state and local health departments. See, you'll notice that the very idea of limiting governmental power is anathema to these one-worlders. Just because you curb public health activities, just because you limit the activities of state and local health departments, doesn't mean necessarily that your state is going to be less healthy. What if those limitations are to prevent harm from happening?
Correct. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
What if
there's something wrong with the local health departments or the state or federal health departments? And that's what we're complaining of. There is something wrong with it.
Right. They're too easily licensing and approving things that were brought to market in a huge hurry, as Albert Bourla told the Economic Club of Chicago. He talked about how fast it went. He talked about how at first he was offered billions of dollars in federal money. He didn't take it at first because it wasn't the right time, but later he admitted he did take it.
Oh, twist my arm. I don't want to take them billions of dollars. Okay, if you insist.
Right, yeah, such modesty, right?
Yeah.
And so you see here where they're concerned that many states, in more than 20 states, laws have been passed recently that now limit the activities of state and local health departments. See, so the more that individual states in our federalist system exercise their constitutional prerogatives to say, we're not going to opt into all this federal and WHO top-down COVID mandates, we have a degree of sovereignty too. The more they do that, the harder it is going to be to slip the noose of this new pandemic treaty around the neck of everybody. See, so they're trying to mitigate against this, as I see it anyway, in my opinion, because they want to soften people up as they develop this treaty. It goes on to say, we got about 9 minutes left in the show. I don't think we have any callers. Did I miss any?
I don't see any.
Denialism, it goes on to say, denialism has trampled over the established belief that businesses and communities best know their employee or resident characteristics, social networks, and healthcare availability in implementing infection control measures. Now, that is a completely cockamamie statement. Let's take it apart. Denialism, that's people like you and me, Ron.
Yeah.
We, he's saying, have trampled over the established belief that businesses and communities best know their employee or resident characteristics, social networks, and healthcare availability in implementing infection control measures. The exact opposite is true. Denialism is all about the belief that businesses and communities know best.
And that I say that it has to do with individuals. What happened to the individual? So you see what they're trying to say is no individual has all the rights of an individual must come from the community. What's best for the community? And as my friend Lark in Texas says, that's communitarianism. This is all communism with a happy face.
Yeah. I mean, on the one level, it's sort of a two-tiered thing. The actual people that would allow for businesses and communities, counties, states, towns, different units, the actual people that would give employees and residents and businesses the flexibility, the ability to say yes and to say no, would be those that are called the deniers. I would tell any business, it's up to you, but it's also up to the employee. The employee ought to be able to work for you even if that individual employee didn't get the jab. So yes, yeah. businesses should be given some decision-making power, but yeah, there's where the individual comes in, right?
Yes. Then you go on with the finish that sentence is there. It says, these businesses and communities may have people who are especially vulnerable medically. Now they're going to make us individuals who will want to exercise our own life, liberty, and possessions to keep them. We're now a danger to especially medically vulnerable people, which is all a lie. That is an abject lie.
Yeah, exactly. Here it goes on to say, we're getting in about the last 3 or 4 minutes, yet in many states, businesses and communities are now prohibited from implementing CDC or medical expert recommendations. Well, if some states are disallowing businesses and local communities to disallowing them to implement CDC recommendations, not allowing them to do so, the reason is the CDC performed so abominably with Fauci at the helm, just carrying out absolutely destructive policies whereby we've seen a huge uptick in people of dying from myocarditis and many people dying immediately on TV, in live settings, on sports fields, and they're moving heaven and earth to try and say that that's COVID doing that, and not very likely the jabs.
Yeah, would you believe, Mark, that we have two callers in the last minute and a half?
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we can't do anything with that.
Wow. You got to call a little earlier, folks. I just, yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'll tell you what. I don't know the names. I didn't get, I'm going to get out of screen share.
Okay.
Let's.
Sherry?
Let's go ahead and take Sherry from Kansas. And you got about a minute, Sherry. Sherry from Kansas?
Michael
from North Carolina.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. There's Hello? Not much time. Okay. Fire at will, sir.
Yeah, this is an easy one. You guys have done a terrific show today, but I didn't catch the first of it, and I need a reference for the article on the WHO treaty that you've just been working through.
Oh, yes.
What's the name of that, and where'd you get it?
I found it online. Where are we at here?
Why don't we type it up and put it in the summary, Mark?
It'll be in the summary of today's show.
Okay, in the RBN archives?
Correct.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, I seem to have misplaced that.
Thanks so much. That's all I got.
You bet. Thank you, Michael.
It'll be there. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for bearing with us today. Sorry about the calls toward the end there. It's tough. We need calls really to do them justice about quarter till the top of the hour or a little bit before. Anyway, Ron, thanks for helping me out today. And everybody stick around on RBN here for the next show, rbn.org, republicbroadcasting.org. That's all I got. Kind of a rush job today. I had a lot of errands before the show. But keep an eye out for this World Pandemic Treaty. Get ready to tell your local officials at the county and local level you want no part of this. We do not want this treaty to be one noose around the neck of humanity. So we'll see you next time here on this show every Wednesday. Stay tuned for the next show. Have a great day. I'm Mark Anderson with Stop the Presses.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.